can't live without it. And we're a blessed nation because we do have clean water. There's a lot of nations, you know, that is a big issue with them. But like I say, we don't want to be playing in the floodwaters that contains chemicals and pollutants, you know, waste, and even the big old containers of fertilizer that went under there by the dam that got away, you know. It's just all kinds of stuff, snakes, everything in the water. But like I said, water is purified. Water is good for us. We need it, and it's necessary. But a bigger need in our life, not just for this life, but for the next, is to have a purified life, soul cleansing, and just being ready to meet the Lord. You know, we've talked a little bit about that already tonight. But I'm going to be reading out Romans 3:23 to begin with. And find out, stand with me. Would please. This is very basic teaching tonight. It's very simple, but there's a lot of truth behind it. In Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God." So there's not a single one of us that hasn't, in our lifetime, messed up at some time. We need the Lord's forgiveness. We need our lives to be cleansed. And then I want to turn over to Romans 6:23. I think this is called the Roman Road. And it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." For the wages is something that we earn. We deserve what we get as sinners. You know, the Lord has a punishment for sin, and it is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no other way that we can obtain eternal life other than Jesus. He is the only way. But it's a gift of God, nothing we earn or that we can deserve. It's just the grace of God that we are able to have eternal life because of what Christ did for us. But let's just all look to the Lord, and let's be seated, and we can go on. But Heavenly Father, we are thankful, God, for the great sacrifice you made, Lord, for each of us, Lord. And the great love, God, that you have for us, Lord, eternal love, God, that you never quit loving us, even when we're in sin, Lord. You reached down, Lord God, you made a way, Lord. Even before the foundation of the world, Lord, you saw the need, and you prepared, God. You were willing, Lord, to lay your life down in our place, Lord. Pay the penalty for our sins. Lord, even though you were clean without sin, Lord, we needed a Savior, Lord, and you were the one willing, Lord. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. And just have your way in this service, Lord. We praise you and thank you. And you may be seated. Like I said, clean water is important, but a clean life is even more important, because when we come to this life, into this life, we're going to be choice, have a fork in the road. We're either going to go to hell or we're going to go to heaven. And once we get to where we're going, we will be there forever. And the sin problem has been around in the human race ever since the Garden of Eden. In 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, "Christ has come into the world to save sinners." That is his main purpose for coming, and to put a work to the end of the works of the devil. In Luke 5:32, it says, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So repentance is a main key involved in obtaining that eternal life that we need. Even though the Lord has made it available to all, not all will repent, not all will call on the Lord, not all will believe in the Lord, but it's a shame. It's there available for all of us. There's no need for anyone to miss out. But we'll look at Luke 19:10 also. It says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Aren't you thankful that He didn't wait on us to come look for him. He come looking for us. And he sent the Holy Spirit out to deal with our hearts, convict us of our sins, and let us know that there was a need, that we were unclean. We needed his help. And if it wasn't for that drawing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, you know, we couldn't be saved. But thank the Lord, He works to bring us to Christ, and Christ does the work to take us on to the Father. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. In Psalms 33:18, I remember Brother Robert, I think it was last Thursday service, he was saying he was trusting in the Lord more than his GPS or his guidance system, whatever he had to drive with. And it is a good thing to put our trust in the Lord. He will not fail us or let us down. And Psalms 33:18 says, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." So praise the Lord that we, those that put that fear Him and hope in His mercy, He is there for them, and He will not let us down. And when we come to the end of life, there's some scriptures in Revelations 20:15, one of them. It says, "For whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast to the lake of fire." So there's nothing unclean in the, that makes an abomination or anything like that is going to enter into heaven. In Revelation 21, in verse 27, I'm in the wrong chapter. 21:27. It says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." So when the Lord purifies our life, He makes us clean, only as He can do. Then we have access into heaven, but we can't have any access into heaven unless our life is purified, unless it is cleansed. He's not going to let sin into there. And it's a place for the pure. In Matthew 5:8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And only those that are purified by the Lord will be able to enter in. And there's some different ways the Lord purifies our lives. And number one is through the Word of God. In Psalms 119, verse 9, Psalms 119 and verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." Verse 15, "I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word." So a young man can cleanse his way by taking heed to the Word of God. And it's not just a young man, it's for anyone. All of us, young or old, male or female, we can change our path by taking heed to the Word of God and getting back on the right course. And it is a guide for us and a help to make us pure and get us into heaven. We can't go without the work of the Lord changing us. In John 15:3, it says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." When we get lined up with God's wants, what His desires are, He will answer our prayers. He will give us what we ask for. And His Word's got to abide in us. So and we hide that Word in our heart. Like I said, we'll not sin against Him. And Proverbs 4:20 It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, and keep them in the midst of thine heart. They are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So his word is life and health to us. And when we keep them in the midst of our heart, it says in chapter 7 and 1 of Proverbs, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So he wants us to keep his word continually before our eyes and meditate on it, and think on it. And says, lay up my commandments before thee. And keep my commandments and live. So just the opposite that, if we do not lay them up, then we will not live. We will stray. We will end up going the path that we do not want to go, into eternal death. 2 Timothy 1 and 8. Says, be not thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me, the prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So he has a purpose for us and a work he wants us to do. And even before the foundation of the world, he says, he is calling us to spread his gospel. It says, But be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. So the gospel, when we keep it, we live according to the word of God, it is going to bring persecution upon us at times. And there's going to be things come our way that's not always going to be easy. But thank the Lord, it's going to be worth it in the end. It's going to pay off. And 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfrenched love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. His word is going to live forever. It says, but verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And open up to the next chapter, 2 and 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So we need, as a young Christian, when we first start out as babes in Christ, we got to grow in that word. We have a hunger for it, and we can't get enough of it, and it helps us to grow, and we've got to have that word to know how to walk according to the Lord's will and to please him. But it's going to purify our life as we apply that word to our life and live according to it. In Proverbs 19:23, it says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it abideth satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. So the fear of the Lord is another step that the Lord uses in our lives to purify our lives. Those that fear the Lord, they realize his authority, who he is, and what he is capable of doing. He will judge us one day by his word. And we will stand accountable. If we do not take it serious, we will regret it later. It is what we're going to be judged by. In Psalms 147 and 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. So once again, we can put our trust in the Lord, and He delights in that. He wants us to trust in Him and lean on Him for our help. In Luke 1 and 50, it says His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. And once again, that fear of the Lord, it's going to benefit us. It's going to, those that don't fear the Lord, they just live it any way they want to. They don't respect Him as who He is, for who He is, and what He's capable of. One day they will come to a place where they wish they had it. And another way the Lord purifies our life is through righteousness. And we have no righteousness of our own. It is as filthy rags, but through what the Lord does for us, He brings us into a place of righteousness with the Father because of the work He does in us. In Proverbs 11 and 18, it says, The wicked worketh deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward, as righteousness tendeth to life. So he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. But the righteous tendeth to life. The righteousness is talking about every act of faith, every bit of patience we have, hope, pressing towards the Lord, loving others, you know, all the work that we do. Self-denial, it all leads home, taking us to the path that we need to go. And the Lord uses that righteousness. In Proverbs 12 and 28, it says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway there is no death. And then Philippians 3 and 9, Be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. And it says, found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, and which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. And once again, when we call on Him, He comes in and saves us, washes us clean. He makes us righteous before the Father, and we stand in that righteousness because of what He has done for us. And then redemption is a process that He purifies our life. Romans 3:23. Romans 3:24, I'm sorry. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So, justified freely, we are justified as if we had never done anything wrong. Our life is washed clean. We're as white as snow, and we're singing that song a minute ago about the redeemed entering in, you know, washed like snow, free from sin. It's only because of the work that Jesus does in it. He justifies us. It says, by His grace, it means unmerited favor, nothing we did to earn it or deserve it. So it's through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So He redeemed us. He bought us back by the sacrifice He made on Calvary for our sins. And then John 3 and 3, you know the story about Nicodemus that came to Jesus, and Jesus told him, you must be born again. It says, Jesus answered, said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So just like we have a natural body that's born into this world, our spiritual body has to be born too. And we have to have a born-again experience. That time we can write down, on such and such a day, I surrendered to the Lord, and I give my heart to God, and I called on Him as my Savior and my Lord. And we sing that song, "I'll Never Forget the Day." I like that one, on page 130 in the Red Book. It takes us back to that day in our memories when we surrendered to the Lord, and He came in, washed us pure and clean. We felt so good afterwards, and you know, we're a different creature when God gets through with us. And by His grace, the God of heaven purifies our lives. And in Titus 2 and 11, it says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying godliness, ungodliness, and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." For the grace of God that bringeth us salvation has appeared to all men. He's not left anyone out that wants it. Just like anyone that calls on Him, ask Him to save him, He will. He'll not turn them away. We have a contrite heart. He is quick to come in and change us and set us free. But also, we can walk away from Him. We can wash our hands, say we don't want anything else to do with Him. I wouldn't want to do that, but it's the freedom that we have. We can make that choice. But there's some that walked with the Lord and left Him. And talks about Demas, I think it is, in the New Testament. Left the Lord for a while. He went back to the world. I remember a time when I fell away from the Lord for a year or so. I quit going to church. I got run into the wrong crowd and started doing things I knew I shouldn't be doing. It was a shame to go back. And finally, the Lord kept dealing with me, and I surrendered, went back, recommitted my life to the Lord, and pretty well walked with Him since. And I don't regret coming back to the Lord, but it's one of the hardest things I ever did, because, you know, the pride and things that gets in the way, you have to admit that you had done wrong. And, you know, I was miserable when I was out in the world. I knew what God was like and how He loved me and all He had done for me. And then I walked away from it. It was just plumb foolish, you know, to even do such a thing. But I thank the Lord that He took me back in. It's like that prodigal son. When we come back and we humble our heart, He will let you back in. He'll forgive you. And He's a good God. In Galatians 2:16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." So faith is another key ingredient, one of the main ones of being purified by the Lord. And it's all done because we submit to the Lord, let Him work in our life. You know, He's a gentleman. He's not going to force Himself on us. He deals with our hearts, but yet He's not going to pressure us to accept eternal life. It's up to us to surrender to it. And who would not want it in the right mind, you know? But those in the world that are deceived by the devil are not in the right mind. They have their minds blinded. They don't realize it's taken place, but that's exactly what's taken place. In 1 John 5 and 4, says, for whatsoever man is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So once again, that faith, without faith it's impossible to please God. We have to have it to be born again, to receive the Holy Spirit, for healing. Anything we get from the Lord, it's only through faith. In Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so it's by faith we have access to that grace. What God has made available to us, it's only through faith. If we don't believe in him, we don't call on him, we will not be saved. In Galatians 6:8, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And this is exactly what I was doing. I went back to sowing to the flesh and got away from God. But once I surrendered my life, came back to him, I started sowing to the Spirit. And continuing that path, you will reap life everlasting. And 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope pure in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And we cannot purify ourselves, but it's only as we surrender to God and let him work his will in us that we are purified. He continues to work in us as we surrender to him. In 1 John 1:7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This backs up just what I was telling you a minute ago about where I got off course. When I confessed my sins, he was faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. And thank the Lord for that. He wants to come in and he wants to purify our souls, our bodies. He wants us to keep our bodies pure, holy, and clean. He also wants the inside pure, not just put look good, you know, situation like the Pharisees. You know, they were doing all kind of rituals, but inside it said they were full of dead men's bones and all unrighteousness. But it's only as we surrender to God, he can purify our life and change us. And it's much more important than having good water to drink, you know, to keep us healthy. But we'll have eternal life when we surrender to him. I'll turn it to you, Pastor.